Father, just we praise you that you sent your Son Jesus to be our ransom, and he died and he's risen from the dead. And this is the day that we know that our faith is true, and we not just live for this world, but more importantly, the one that is to come in the new heavens and new earth that you will create when your Son Jesus will return again. We look for that day. And thank you, Jesus, that you has become the first fruit of all who are asleep. And as you are the first fruit, we will be following you as the part of the great harvest that will be collected at the end of our earthly life. Let your Holy Spirit hover over here and give us your charge, and give us humility to be able to take what you have to say this morning. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. How shall we live in light of the resurrection of Jesus Christ? The resurrection of Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ has changed everything. The resurrection is not just an amazing comeback story of our Lord. It proves that the death is not the end of life, contrary to the naturalistic worldview. Jesus has become the first fruits of all those who have fallen asleep. What that means is he is the first humanity who has ever resurrected from the dead. No one before him, but he is the first human who has risen from the dead. And as the first fruit indicates, that the very first sheaf of the grain, Christ Jesus being the first fruit raised from the dead, is the guarantee of the resurrection for all those who belong to him. All believers will share in his resurrection, will be risen if you believe in Jesus Christ. If Jesus Christ is our guarantee for our own resurrection, there are ample ramifications for us as to how we shall live our earthly life before we join him in all eternity. With the view of the resurrection, we are all the more responsible for this life, how we carry this responsibility while we are in here. Apostle Paul, what happened to Apostle Paul? Once he encountered the risen Christ, his life has changed for good. His life was turned upside down. So today, from the word of Apostle Paul, who has seen the risen Christ, we'd like to establish three key imperatives as to how we shall live before we join Jesus in the new heavens and in the new earth. So let's look at, could you turn this one around for me? Thanks. Yeah, let's read Romans 6, 11 through 13. That's good. Romans 6, 11, 13. Apostle Paul said, "Even so, consider yourself to be dead to sin." Let me see if I can help you. "Even so, you consider yourself to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Jesus Christ. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its lust. And do not go on presenting the members of your body to sin as instruments of unrighteousness, but present yourself to God as those alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. So the first charge to all of us this morning is stop yielding to sin in your life. We are to consider ourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Jesus Christ by virtue of Jesus Christ and his resurrection power within us. The fact that we have this new resurrection power over the dominion of sin in our life is used by Apostle Paul as a reason to exhort us not to sin anymore. The word consider in verse 11, logisomai in Greek, has a connotation of determining by mathematical process. So consider yourself to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ means much more than just think about that fact, but being completely making up our mind and live based on this fact. I am dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. You know, we don't mess up with mathematical axioms. You know, we don't think second time when we deal with mathematical rules. We just repeatedly, over and over again, take the problems of math until we get we get so familiar so that we know exactly what to do when we see mathematical formulas and rules. So, you know, that's the idea. We train our mind not to deviate any thought process from mathematical principle, just as that we ought to consider, logisomai, our mind, that we are to dead to sin, but alive in Jesus Christ. So that should be our governing thought. You know, there is not a second thought. It's so ingrained in us so that we would know exactly how we shall live in that principle. And verse 12 and 13 says, do not go on presenting the members of your body to sin as instruments of unrighteousness, but present yourself to God as those alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. The key word is that do not go on presenting, but go on presenting ourselves as righteous instruments for God. It talks about habit, you know, lifestyle. Our habit is nothing more than what we repeatedly do in our body. Our body is programmed in such a way that what it did last time will have the biggest impact on what we do now. And likewise, what we do now will have the biggest impact on what we will do the next time. And most importantly, the source of the power we have so that we can overcome the grip of sin, it's not within us, but it's the power of the resurrection. You know, that's the relevance. It's not that we have willpower to overcome the sin, but when you are connected with the power of the risen Christ, which is reality, we can actually overcome the grip of sin. You know, these days, one of the most rising technologies is artificial intelligence and cloud computing. The most powerful software and applications of your mobile phones and your pads and your personal computers are all connected to a gigantic computing power in the data center through the internet. Whether you know it or not, you don't have, your device doesn't have all the power you need. You're actually connected through internet, through 4G or LTE networks. And 5G is coming along so that even bigger data can be transmitted. And you depend on those data centers. And all over the world, by the way, not just in this locality, through internet. I don't know if you heard of AlphaGo. AlphaGo is artificial intelligent Go player. Go is Weiqi or Baduk. It's an ancient Chinese game, with 19 by 19 grid, with the black stone and white stone, you try to get more territory. And AlphaGo, developed by the DeepMind artificial intelligence company, defeated the Go master of the world, Lee Sedol. And AlphaGo is connected computing power of more than 1,000 CPUs. So when AlphaGo played with Lee Sedol, there are more than 1,000 CPU were connected to the mind of AlphaGo to be able to defeat Lee Sedol. Lee Sedol has one brain, one CPU, but this artificial intelligence has 1,000 CPUs connected concurrently. And the power of that CPU comes from all over the world, not just one locality. That is called cloud computing and artificial intelligence connected to the cloud computing through internet. The connectedness is the key. You know, when we dwell in Christ, we are connected to Christ, and we have the power of resurrection available to us so that the grip of sin can be defeated. You know, that's the idea. So Christ has an infinite number of CPUs, so to speak. AlphaGo, 1,000 CPU, that's amazing, you know, thinking power. But Christ's power is, you know, we cannot even compare with his power. Infinite number of CPUs are in the heavenly places, connected to us when we dwell in the thought of Christ's resurrection power. So with that power available for us, we can overcome the grip of sin in our life. So stop yielding to sin in your life by being connected to the power of resurrection of Jesus Christ. And second charge is from 1 Corinthians 15, verses 54 through 58. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 54 through 58. It's written on the screen. But when this perishable will have put on the imperishable, and this mortal will have put on immortality, then will come about the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, and knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord. The huge ramification of our life because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ is, you know, we are called to keep up steadily in the Lord's work. You know, what does it mean? Death is swallowed up in victory. You know, last Friday was Good Friday. It was a memorial day for the death of Jesus Christ. You know, we need to think about death in light of the ultimate death, the death of Jesus Christ. You know, to do that, we need to think about what his death accomplished. Jesus' death accomplished victory over our condition and our death. Jesus overcame the penalty of our sin by his own death on the cross. You know, by means of Christ's death, the sting of death has lost its power. You know, why is that? You know, when Jesus was killed, Satan thought he completely was triumphant because Jesus, Son of God, is dead. But he was completely mistaken and misunderstood. Satan thought he won the victory when Christ was crucified, but the opposite was taking place. The death of Jesus substituted every death of all who believe in Jesus. So Satan lost his power and dominion over the people who placed their trust in Jesus. In John 11:25, Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, and even though they die." So even if you die, you will live if you are a believer. So the death of Jesus Christ has brought all believers the final victory. Your life will not end at your deathbed. You will be resurrected if you put your trust in Jesus Christ. So Satan was completely defeated in that day Jesus was crucified. And when Jesus was risen from the dead, at the first resurrection day 2,000 years ago, Christ's resurrection was indeed that his death was, in effect, nullify our own death. So the believers, when you take your last breath, you will be with Jesus Christ. Your last breath is not an entrance into the grave, but entry into the life eternal with Jesus Christ. That's the ramification of Jesus' resurrection. So that's what it means. Death is swallowed up in victory. And look at verse 57. "But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." So through Christ's death and resurrection, God granted victory to all who believe in Jesus Christ. And this victory is not reversible. This victory we have in Christ is permanent. No matter what we face off, we are forever a victor in Christ. So with this view, Apostle Paul speaks in verse 58, "Therefore, my brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord." So everything that you do for the Lord has eternal significance because of Christ has risen. Everything that you do to bring people into the kingdom of God and build them up will never return in vain. Each and every sweat you shed for him will be counted by the living Lord. So keep up steadily in the Lord's work. And the resurrection of Jesus Christ motivates us to get involved in the Lord's work. Keep up steadily in the Lord's work in view of Christ's resurrection. And lastly, Colossians 3, 1 through 4. "Therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. And set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory." So the last charge is, focus on your future reward as your goal. It sounds crazy. How can we focus on, our future reward as our goal? The future reward is not earthly, it's a heavenly. Apostle Paul encourages us when we think about resurrection to focus on our future heavenly reward as our goal of life. You know, keep seeking the things above. What is that things above? It's the things. It's not the person. You know, we are going to encounter Jesus Christ, the risen Christ, and God, the Father, and the Spirit in heaven. But keep seeking the things above and set your mind on the things above. What is that? That is actually our inheritance, our reward in heaven. You know, Jesus told us to store up for yourself treasures in heaven, Matthew 6:20. And he linked his command to the desire of our heart. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also, Matthew 6:21. And the Bible mentions reward that await the believers who serve the Lord faithfully in this world. Matthew 10:41 talks about reward. And what is reward? It's a Greek word, missos. That's the word for reward. It is due paid for work, literally. Due paid for work, or reward of the fruit resulting from toil and endeavors. It's a divine recompense. It's a pay of the Lord to your work for Him. And a great reward is promised to those who are persecuted for Jesus' sake. And various crowns are mentioned, especially 2 Timothy 4:8 talks about crown of righteousness, which is a type of reward. For those who kept holy life will be rewarded with the crown of righteousness. And most importantly, Jesus said in Revelation 22:12, He will bring rewards with Him when He returns. Revelation 22:12, Jesus said, Behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me to give to everyone according to his work. You know, what does that mean? God is our ultimate employer. You know, the risen Christ will recompense all your work for Him. I know that a lot of you work very hard. Some of you have your own employer. You work hard to earn the right wages, you know, right bonus for all the services and all the labors and the work you render for your employer. And if you're self-employed, and you also work hard to get the right recompense, income, you know, payment for all the hours that you put it in. No matter whether you have your own employer or you're self-employed, we work hard in this world. You know, same principle is applied in Jesus' mind. And He said, I am coming quickly and my reward is with me to give to everyone according to his work. You know, Apostle Paul encourages servants that God has eternal reward for those who are motivated to serve Jesus. You know, Colossians 3:23 and 24, let me speak it for you. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Jesus you are serving. So our ultimate employer is Jesus Christ. And anything that you do for His name's sake, you know, each and every sweat you shed for His name's sake in His work will be rightly rewarded by our risen Jesus Christ. And our Lord will be faithful to reward us for the service we give him. Hebrews 6:10, God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love. You know, our employer may be unjust. You may not get right recompense, right wages, or right bonus for your diligent work. You know, that's kind of, you know, wild world out there. You know, somebody else may take away your work, you know, the reward for your work. However, our Lord Jesus is not unjust. He recognized each and every work rendered for him from you, and he will unjustly recompense for all your labor and toil. You know, anything that is given in the name for his sake, in his name, any love you render to help the poor and help the needy, and any ministry time you have given to him through your prayer ministry or through a compassion ministry or even coming to worship service and, you know, praise, all those time that you spend for his sake will not be forgotten by the Lord Jesus Christ. Our ministries may differ, but the Lord we serve is the same. And the man who plants and the man who waters have one purpose, and each will be rewarded according to his own labor. 1 Corinthians 3:8. You know, God is our ultimate employer. He knows each and every work that you render. How does he know? You know, this cloud computing, actually, Google can tell you what you have done, you know, 1 hour ago. And actually, Google can trace you exactly where you are and doing what you've been, you know, browsing through, and who did you send your email to, and how many hours that you have been browsing through the internet, you know, where you've been going from one place to another. He can trace you. Google can trace you. And how much more God would not know what you've been doing? I think technology is if I take it positively, it's a, you know, reminder of who God is. All-powerful, all-omnipotent God. And AI and cloud computing, artificial intelligence, are only a glimpse of all-powerful God. God is much more powerful than those things. But from those, we can understand God can really, you know, know what we are doing. And each and every labor we render for him is recorded according to his book, his database. You know, ultimate intelligent designer is God. Not AI, it's not artificial intelligence, it's ultimate, you know, intelligent designer is our Lord. You know, the rich young ruler loved his money more than God in Matthew 19:16. You know, a fact that Jesus incisively pointed out. The issue wasn't that a rich young man was rich, but that he treasured his riches and did not treasure what he could have in Jesus Christ. Jesus told the man to sell his possessions to give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me. That's what Jesus said. The young man left, Jesus said, because he was very rich. He chose this world's treasure, and so he did not lay up treasure in heaven. He was unwilling to make Jesus his treasure. You know, we cannot treasure two things with one heart. We either treasure earthly treasure or heavenly treasure. And you have to choose one. In light of Jesus' resurrection, heavenly reward is the real reward, and that is the one that lasts forever. You know, why would anyone not focus on the future imperishable reward over temporal perishable reward? In the business world, take this analysis, the trade-off between what you get and what you lose. What is that called? Cost, some kind of analysis. Kind of cost-profit analysis. Cost-benefit analysis or whatever. Just think about it. If you are very good at accounting, you know, money in, money out, you know, think about that. Reward, you know, you get reward once, either earth, on the earth or in heaven, and earthly reward will be perishable completely. But the heavenly reward is not imperishable. It will be permanent reward. Which one would you take? Simply put, in the resurrection of Jesus, assures us that which one is, you know, the better deal. You know, wouldn't permanent, imperishable reward in heaven be the better deal? Think about that. You know, there's another reward that is guaranteed for following the teachings of Jesus. Do you know that? 2 John 1:8. Watch yourself that you might not lose what you have accomplished, but that you may receive a full reward. And verse 9 says, anyone who goes too far and does not abide in the teachings of Christ does not have God. And the one who abides in his teaching, he has both Father and the Son. So that's why the right theology is so important. Right doctrine is so important based on the Jesus teaching. You know, we will not lose our full reward by following the strict teachings of Jesus Christ. If we follow the false teachers, we are going to lose our full reward in heaven. So our doctrinal purity is so important. If someone teaches you that God is going to bless you if you believe, and God's going to abundantly bless you on earth, and period, that is actually false teaching. You know, a lot of the teachings around internet or YouTube talks about that. Earthly, you know, we are meant to be millionaires. If you so believe in God, God's going to give you abundance just simply believing in him. You know, if you take that theology, you are going to lose your reward in heaven. That's why Jesus always talks about eternity. You know, give Jesus what belongs to Caesar and give God what belongs to God. He's talking about this eternal realm, you know, heavenly realm. He always talks about heavenly realm. He said his kingdom is not on earth. His kingdom is heavenly. And Son of Man will come with clouds in the new heavens and in the new earth. He's always talking about something more than what we are seeing today. So it's a, you know, encouragement for us to stick to the teachings of the Bible. And that's why we do Bible study. You know, without Bible study, you know, if someone says you will be swayed with that teaching very easily, A lot of people saying there is no hell. Even church pastors saying there is no hell. There is no inferno. That's too cruel. God is not that in a person. God is only love. That is also false teaching. If we follow that, we are going to forfeit our reward in heaven. And all the more, it's a reason to, you know, study the Bible and focus on Jesus' teaching and stick with it and abide in that teaching. And we'll have the full reward by following Jesus' teaching. You know, treasures that await the children of God will far outweigh any trouble, inconvenience, and persecution we may face on earth. You know, we can serve the Lord wholeheartedly knowing that God is the one keeping score. And His reward will be abundantly gracious. As I said, artificial intelligence is great, but God is the ultimate intelligent designer above, beyond all AI, you know, machines and softwares and applications. And I like cloud computing because it's a heavenly, right? It's a good name, you know. Look at the cloud and then somehow this intelligent machine figure out what to do. It kind of reminder of, you know, our Father who is in heaven. And Jesus will come with clouds, right? It's cloud computing. It's a God's idea. It's not, you know, somebody else's idea. God is the ultimate intelligent designer who keeps track of His reward unjustly, I mean justly, for all His faithful. Everything will be revealed, including your reward. 1 Corinthians 15:58, always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. You know, every labor and work you rendered in the name of Jesus will be properly recognized by our ultimate employer, Lord Jesus Christ. If Christ is risen and seated at the right hand of God, awaiting us, it would extremely make sense to focus on our future heavenly reward as our life goal. Would it not? The resurrection of Jesus is not a vague hope that there will be more than earthly life. Of course, that is included. And resurrection of Jesus Christ is not just hope that we're going to see our Lord Jesus. Yes, that's included. But there is more. It is a guarantee of the harvest to come, as the risen Christ is our first fruit. Will be part of this great harvest. You know, we are going to live even if we die. The risen Christ is the sure proof for eternity and the reason why we should live differently. Start building to sin in your life and keep up steadily in the Lord's work and focus on your future reward as your goal of your life. Let us pray. Father, thank you that you are our ultimate accountability partner. You are our ultimate employer who knows all our work given to you. Thank you for this idea of eternity. And thank you that today is your Son's resurrection day. He defeated the dead, the tomb, but also He gives the ultimate life purpose that is beyond this life. Give us that wisdom to hold on to and serve you and your kingdom with all our strength with all our heart and mind. We thank you in Christ's name, we pray. Amen.
At your name, the mountain shake. At your name, the oceans fall in time. Your name, angels will bow, the earth will rejoice, your people cry out. Lord of all the earth will shout your name, shout your name, filling up the skies. Endless praise, endless praise. The morning breaks at your name, creation sings your story. At your name, angels will bow, the earth will rejoice. Cry out, Lord of all the earth, will shout your name, shout your name, filling up the skies, endless praise, endless praise. Yahweh, Yahweh, we love to shout your name, oh Lord.
There's no one like our God.
There is no one like our God. God, we will praise you, there's no one like our God. We will sing, there is no one like our God. We will praise you, there's no one like our God. We will sing.
Lord of all the earth,
Lord of all the earth, will shout your name. Shout your name, filling up the skies. Endless praise, endless praise. Yahweh, Yahweh, we love to shout your name, oh Lord.
Lord, thank you that you are a living God. You're not God who is dead. You're not the God the human made. You're not the God the human hands crafted. But you are the God who was there and who is here and who will be there. You are the Alpha and Omega. You define time. You define the beginning and the end. You give and you take away. May your Holy Spirit give us this conviction that life is all the more worthy as we focus on the God of eternity. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and love of God who is in heaven and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all forever.